Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Queen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. And tonight, okay, I just want to first start off by saying that I was divinely inspired by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message as he spoke at Masjid Al-Aqsa, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so That is the motivating factor for this broadcast tonight. And so before I introduce my panelists, I want everyone to know that tonight we are sponsored by Nation Brand Bread, baked by Nation Chef. When it comes to making healthy choices, I personally choose Nation Brand Bread, wholesome and fresh baked and made with Muhammad whole wheat flour. So thank you, Brother Erell out of Houston, Texas, and the magnificent chefs that work with you for sponsoring Nation Building Movement Network. Okay, so we have a panel of distinguished brothers with us tonight, all from, I believe, different faith persuasions, and that's the point. The point was to bring people of different persuasions, and I did reach out to a few Christians who couldn't show up, and I tried to find a couple of Hebrew Lights, but I didn't know any of them that personally to invite them. But I got some brothers on the line who are different faith persuasions, and that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the fact that we must be brothers, because when it comes to the plight of Black America, irregardless of race or, I mean, irregardless of religion, we all suffer the same plight. So first I would like to have Mike B. L. Front and center. Soldier.
Islam. Yeah. As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First I rise and give praise. Almighty God Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of all the worlds, and give high honors to all his angelic beings, all his prophets, give honors to all of you on the line, and give honors to all the honors is due, Islam.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. And if you would, Brother Mahdi, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and exactly what is your faith persuasion so we can be clear.
Well, yes, you know, myself, I am a Moor, and I'm Moorish American. Islamism as my faith perspective. Yeah, from Philadelphia,
yes,
Pennsylvania, myself, Philadelphia, and, you know, I operate missionary outreach programs within the Moorish Science Temple of America. You know, we operate our Moorish International Mission. We operate our international interfaith court downtown in Philadelphia, Criminal Justice Center. So, you know, yeah, I live Islamism, and I'm very open to, you know, all of our indigenous Islam perspectives.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Mike B. Okay, and my other dear Brother Anthony Odell Longstreet. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Anthony.
Wa alaikum salam, sister. Hello, everybody.
Right, peace and love.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, Brother Anthony, tell us a little bit about yourself. Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
My name is Anthony Longstreet. I'm a ordained minister with Universal Life Church. It's a non-denominated church. And what we do is we just believe in God, and we don't associate no problems with God. I'm also a Sunni Muslim, and I'm here to just show support for all the brothers and sisters, regardless of what race, color, creed you are, or what your religious beliefs are. As far as I'm concerned, we all consider brothers and sisters, and whatever your beliefs is, that's your concern, and that's your thing, but you're still a brother and sister to me. And I'm located in Las Vegas.
Yes, sir. Okay,
right.
Thank you, Brother Anthony. And, of course, I have someone with me who certainly needs no introduction. He is our dear brother and friend and student minister, and he's also the host of our Friday night study group, a mighty soldier in the Nation of Islam and a mighty longstanding servant in the student ministry under the tutelage of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and to my distinguished co-panelists, my dear brothers in faith, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam,
brother.
As our dear sister shared with us all, I am a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under the guiding light of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Of course, as a Muslim, we believe in Jesus and the gospel or the Injil. As a Muslim, we believe in Musa or Moses and the Torah. And without doubt, we believe in Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah of 1,400 years ago, through whom the wonderful revelation of the Quran was revealed. Peace be upon all of these great messengers, prophets, great worthies and servants of Almighty God Allah. As a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I can never thank Allah God enough for his intervention in our affairs and in the affairs of the human family in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, the long-awaited Mahdi of the Muslims and the Messiah of the Christians. We thank him for raising up the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his messenger, Messiah, and now we know him to be exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years, through whom we have been given the marvelous example of the quality of a human being and servant of God. The man of whom I speak is the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Again, in their name, I'm very happy to greet you with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum, and I'm honored to be asked to be among my distinguished brothers and co-panelists as well. Of course, as you, dear Queen, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's my great honor. Assalamu Alaikum.
Okay, listen, I'm getting some background disturbance, and I think that's your phone, Brother Mahdi. Are you outside or something?
No, I just think I had some background noise. Is it a little better?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're going to get started. And what I'm going to do tonight, instead of asking you gentlemen questions, and I pray that since all of you in the listening audience are here, that you will also engage our panelists, because some of y'all beat me here. So all praise is due to Allah. And I want to give some talking points. The first talking point I want to go to, of course, is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message in Philadelphia yesterday at the Masjid. Not so much of anything that he said in particularly is what I want to address, but the union of brotherhood and the establishment of friendship really illuminated from my screen, so to speak, last night as I was watching how, you know, the Nation of Islam, the Christians, the Sunnis, and everybody just kind of come together for the common cause. And everybody was so happy and so engaging with one another. You know, it wasn't like the Christians were over in a corner and the nation was over in a corner, but everybody just blended beautifully together. And oftentimes that is not the scene in our community, and even in our public forums, these things very seldom, if ever, occur. And so when we look at the plight of Black America, you know, and there are some things I'm specifically going to point out, like, for instance, astronomical amount of murders that are going on in Los Angeles as well as in Chicago. And particularly, they're going on all over, but these rates, these murder rates are really increasing at a very alarming speed. Chicago has long had trouble with gun violence, and now L.A., which had calmed down a little bit, is now elevating once again. And then the mistreatment and the abuse of women and children. Those are the two things, two talking points I want to start off with. So I want to kind of bring solutions and give people an idea of how we really feel about each other. Me, myself, I'm a member, lifetime member of the Nation of Islam, and that's who I am and what I believe. And I just want to kind of get everybody's views because I don't think we offer many platforms for us to really come together and have a conversation about what we are all going through. So as it relates to the gun violence in our communities, I'm going to start with you, Brother Mike B. You know, what do you think we as a people can do different to kind of curtail some of this?
Well, yeah, sister, I feel your question. You know, I advocate and, you know, always advocate that we do for self, and we go back to what was already taught and what was already given as instructions. So, you know, once we begin to really do for self on other levels and get into some community policing, or even if you don't, you know, don't even start there, but however, when we start just being men more present, like here in Philadelphia, a couple brothers that I know, you know, started up, you know, Philadelphia 300 Men Assembly or something to that effect. And so they're beginning to rewrite the dialogue in the streets of what is acceptable behavior, but by men being more present in the times of, you know, when schools are letting out and going to school in the morning, and just volunteering and men being stepping up and just being present, you know, similar like how it was in the heyday in those times when the FOI was out there in Philly, you know, he was doing stuff. So it was like, you know, we just have to resurgence that, because I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel, but it's just done in a better way, because we, as together, as a joint services, you know, with all our specialties, can come together and really make it even better than it would be normally under just one particular, you know, specialty or strength organization. So, you know, we always advocating that, you know, men begin to partner and do some volunteer hours and coordinate in order to, you know, be present first and foremost, but then be a helping hand to retransform, you know, how they do for self on a lot of levels. Because if people don't like the justice system, or they don't like the police force, or they don't like the violence, if they're not willing to make their own justice system, like their holy apostle used to say, you know, you don't condemn a dirty glass. You put a clean glass up next to it and let the people choose. So that's where we have to begin, and not to complain about the justice system so much, but to build our own, so that way our people have a something more reliable so-called alternative, even though, you know, we really know it's not an alternative. It's really the source, but they'll look at it as an alternative in the beginning. So we have to just build these healthy institutions that they can run on the so-called autopilot, because we have the system, and we can just, you know, operate that and run that jointly. You know, so that's how I see it, with to one step to, you know, address the issues of that, you know, that wanton violence in the major cities or major places where Asiatics are at.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. And Brother Anthony?
I'm here.
Yeah, I want the same question to you. What do you think we can do to better curtail some of this gun violence in the street?
Okay. I'm in agreement with the brothers that just spoke, but I don't want to take from that, but I want to add to it. What we also need to do is take to the streets and protest and get our youth in order and let them know that the violence is killing each other is unjustified. We got to come together as a people and stand strong so we can stop filling up the jails and the prisons with our own race.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the people in the prison system are black people and Latinos. I can't speak for Latinos, but I'm going to speak for the black people because we make up the majority in the prison system. I know from personal experience, I've been there and done that, so I know how the system is set up. You know, just like down here in Las Vegas, they got a policy down here where if the police stop you and he feel like you pose a threat, he shoot. They're doing the same thing in Los Angeles. Just like when they beat up Rodney King. They didn't ask no question. That was just a traffic stop. So but the point I'm trying to make is our youth is out here making the neighborhoods bad, and we really got to take to the streets and get our youth back in order. Now, I'm going to speak from another perspective because I didn't introduce myself under that level, but I'm a vice lord, and I represent vice lord. And what we're doing up there in Chicago is we're taking to the streets. We got the Moorish American Sign Temples. They helping us up there. We all taking to the streets, and we trying to let the people know in the neighborhood, hey, this violence got to stop. Stop killing each other. Stop the gun violence, you know, because we need to pull together and get control of our situation. If we all
yes.
look back, when we first came here to America, we were slaves. So how is it that we all strayed away from the slave mentality and started gangbanging and fighting each other? You know, and that's what the problem is. We our youth them went crazy. They done strayed away from us, and they on some, I'm a Blackstone, I'm a GD, I'm a king, or I'm a vice lord, and they're taking the concept of these organizations, they're using them in bad grace. And as a result of that, they're starting to kill each other. So we're trying to take back to the streets and let the neighborhoods and guys know, hey, y'all got to stop the killing each other because this ain't where it's at. We're not a gang. We're not an organization. I mean, we're not a gang. We're an organization, and we represent peace, love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. That's what we represent. We don't represent you over here in the neighborhood selling drugs to this neighborhood. You're poisoning our people. You know, we don't want to do that. What I'm really concerned about and glad that Obama did was he built that border over there by Mexico to stop the flow of drugs coming into the country. That slowed down a lot of the drug cartel that was coming into the country. But we still got our youth with these guns, and they're shooting, killing each other. They're shooting kids. I got a guy now. We're going to start an organization down here in Los Angeles called the Dari Peace Movement, and I'm starting one down here in Las Vegas. And we're trying to bring to the kids the attention to the neighborhoods that the violence got to stop because we're killing up our own. I don't see the white people out there doing that to themselves, but you see a whole lot of black people killing each other. And so this is what the problem is. So I'm not going to take away from the brother what he said. I'm going to only add to it because what he's saying is right. It's the criminal justice system is what we're dealing with, and then we're dealing with the corruptness of our own youth. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And Brother Dean.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, brother.
Alaykum salam.
First of all, I want to thank both our brothers for the statements that you made, and particularly my brother who is in the street and advocating going in the street from whatever organization that you may represent. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing and instructing us to do likewise as we hit the streets. The communities where the blight proliferates, where violence and black self-destruction proliferate. So we're doing the same thing. This hands-on approach is absolutely necessary. So I want to applaud both of you for your words and your work, dear brother.
Alhamdulillah.
All praises be to Allah. The Honorable
yes,
Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that his teacher and ours, said, the problem of the black man at its root is spiritual. It is the absence of the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self.
Correct.
And our connection to God and our connection to each other. An enemy has entered in to the natural state of the black man and has caused us to view each other as enemies of each other, fighting for territories that we don't own, but reflecting the division of leadership. I, as a preacher and hopefully a teacher, cannot expect that our young people would come together in unity and love and embrace one another in spite of trivial or insignificant differences of ideology or faith expression. If I'm a member of the Nation of Islam and condemning the Sunni Muslim expression, the Shiite Muslim expression, the Moorish science Muslim expression, or my Christian expression, all of these denominations that the enemy has created and we have unfortunately in ignorance followed. All of these different faith expressions. Let's look at that. As Muslims, Christians, Jews, when asked of our faith, we say we're of the Islamic faith, or we're under the Christian faith, or we are of the Jewish faith. Different labels, but the common denominator is faith. And if the common denominator of all of these religious expressions is faith, then we need to understand that principle of faith. I don't consider myself of a different religious persuasion or faith persuasion from my brothers who are on with me. I would not even consider myself different from my Christian brother or Jewish brother, faith expression, if the expression is faith and not dogma, not ritual, not religious title. But faith is faith. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. What we substantially hope for and cry out for as a human family is freedom, justice, and equality. That transcends Christian expression. It transcends Muslim or Islamic expression. It transcends Jewish expression. But while our young people see division in us, how then can we expect them not to follow our example or listen to the hypocrisy of our telling them that they should love one another and come together when we don't express it ourselves?
Right.
The enemy,
okay.
Yeah, the enemy always uses divide and conquer, and we must not exclude his hand in all of this. It's written in the scripture, both Bible and Quran, wherein Pharaoh's advisors in the Bible told him, come, let us deal wisely with the children of Israel, since they were multiplying at an alarming rate, and Pharaoh's fear was that they would accept another religion other than that of Egypt, or that they would join on to an enemy against Egypt and Pharaoh and come against Pharaoh and Egypt. This is similar to the fear that they have today with our young people. But let us deal wisely with them. Let's kill off the boy and let the women folk live. Kill all the boy babies. This is what you see happening. The absence of jobs and legal avenues through which to gain some economic substance deprived of by our youth or from our youth, for our youth. If you look at the statistics of joblessness, unemployment, poverty, how it abounds, particularly in the black community and communities of quote-unquote minorities, Latino, black, and others. Well, there's no wonder that in the pursuit of happiness and without the moral teaching that produces the love in a brother for a brother, we're going to do whatever we can to survive. The hypocrisy of this society is they decry the violence among young people, particularly young black people, but with no job, no money, no legal avenue of economic expression, and then force feed our young people with these commercials for Lexuses and Mercedes and Saabs and other fine cars and other material things of the finer things in life, knowing that they can't get these things
right
with a job at Wendy's for $5 or $6 an hour, or a job at McDonald's for $5 and $6 an hour, and then flooding our community with drugs and guns, because we don't bring the guns in. So where are we getting the guns in our community? No, it's from the hidden activity and conspiratorial objective to destroy black people by destroying the men that these guns and drugs are in our community. So it, at the root of it, it's the absence of the knowledge of self and the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our relationship, their relationship to God. I can't kill my brother if I know he's my brother and we have the same father. I won't rob my brother if he's my brother and I look at him as my brother and I love my brother. I won't sleep with my brother's wife if I love my brother and I know he's my brother. So it's the absence of the knowledge of self, thereby causing the absence for the love of self, and then compounded by the hidden hand of the enemy who is fomenting all of this undercover and then blaming the victim. So I'll stop right there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Sister Azia, I would like to comment on what brother just said about faith.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay, look. When you was talking about the faith of different religions, I don't think that the faith of the different religions play a part in the violence, because when you look at the different religions, like the Nation of Islam, believe in Master Father Muhammad is God in person. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
You got Christians that believe that Jesus is God in person. And then you got Sunni Muslims that say, we don't associate no partners with God, therefore there is no Jesus or no Master Father Muhammad is God. Those are different ideologies of what people believe in as far as religious, which me personally don't believe have anything to do with the violence in the streets. What we have to do is put our beliefs to the side and grab our people and bring them in and teach them the right way. Regardless of what the beliefs is of these different religions that we have, it should not have a bearing on what's going on as far as the violence in the streets. So I agree with you as far as the beliefs, but I somewhat disagree with you as far as you saying that the beliefs plays a part in the violence in the street, because we all from a different religion, sect. and we all believe differently, but that doesn't play a part in the violence. If we can pull our youth in, or the people that's causing all the problems in the streets, and bring them under our tree and teach them our beliefs, we might can steer them away from the violence and put them on something positive. So that's all I wanted to add to that.
So, so Islam, I'll also like to add on to that as well, because I can see what you were just saying, brother, as far as using the faith. That's how the faith can be used in a positive way. But however, a few years ago, I did a piece on, called the Unification of the Mystery Schools. And it was basically a protocol, I had really discovered when I was in the U.S. Army at the time, I guess maybe back in 2003 or so. And so I learned that, of course, they always using our technology and everything they do. The Army and the Marines in general, just being hyper, just so-called stereotypical, the Marines doesn't really like the Air Force, let's say. However, when they have what they call the joint services and the joint forces, if that Marine was in a restaurant and they heard you about to pick on a airman, they would come to that airman's aid. In the same way, in the desert, if that Marine was going to get heavy artillery, they would call in an airstrike. But they have a joint mutual understanding and compact amongst themselves that, I called it the unification of the mystery schools, is because I said that all these teachings that came to raise our people up in North America, in the wilderness of North America, it was basically from, they're like mystery schools in the West. They came from people that came, really raised up out of the ex-slaves. So, from Drew Ali to Elijah and everything. So it's basically something where a protocol and a formula so that we can work together at all costs, at all times. So when we came to, they come to any meeting or any kind of gatherings, our gatherings should never be, some high course debate, some YouTube debate with the gloves off and everything, where it should be something that most of these meetings that we have, they have a lot of people that are skilled specialists in their trades and their crafts and everything that they do. And so when it comes to the meeting, we might have two agendas on the meeting. It's like, well, in Philadelphia, let's say, we're just using it regionally, Philadelphia, we want a few supermarkets that has the quality of the foods that we want, that we all agree upon. So when somebody comes to the door, okay, all they want to talk about is nutrition. Great, they can sit at that table with the earth and deal with that element of nutrition and fill that question. So we all, when we had the unification of the mystery schools, a good meeting about it, a lot of brothers from different schools came and a lot of sisters from different schools came and everything. And so we said, and people were ready to argue and everything, like the brother said, like the minister has said, that if we are not willing to do it amongst ourselves, we can't look for it out in the world when we're supposed to be really the top of the cream of the crop. And if we can't really get along and make it happen, then we can't expect the 85% to be able to do that. So the whole thing is, when they came to the, when we come to these types of events, we asked them, okay, then people came ready to battle with their swords out. But we asked them, hey, do we all agree in this room, no matter what school we come from, that we're all original people? Everybody looked around and was like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, did we agree that we all, no matter what school we're from, we all don't like vaccinations? Yeah. They were like, yes. Well, the vaccinations could go away forever very quickly, because with our combined efforts and our combined powers, because, oh, you're, We don't all like vaccinations. So the people that are passionate about nutrition, they have 2 hours to hammer that out about bringing the right type of, you know, things that can fortify your immune system, you know, as if you don't want to deal with the vaccine thing. You know, people that dealing with, that's that earth energy, people dealing with that Tahuti or that air energy, that Air Force, you know, they'll deal with that propaganda. They can come with the public service announcements and all the advertisement that deal with why vaccines is wrong. But then you have the other elements. So no matter what people are passionate about and what their faith perspective is, or if they're Moors, they want to do law and they want to talk all the law and paperwork, but that's fine. But you got 2 hours to sit at the Navy table, because that's what the Navy do. You know, they deal with intelligence work. So you got, whoever's passionate about that, sit at that water table, and y'all got 2 hours to come up with a document that we can use in Philadelphia, period, no matter what community we come from, that our children will be able to use. Now, y'all fiery people, or you just hate the devil and everything, y'all like Marines. So they're like Marines. So y'all just want, y'all bet, y'all can deliver it. Y'all can deliver that document. Y'all can organize the protests around that issue. So no matter what the issue is, if it's a supermarket or if it's us not dealing with vaccines, the joint services, the unification of all our mystery schools, because people are under the impression that they would have a full thing. But most of the time, you know, the creator and his divine, you know, wisdom, you know, it's the supreme wisdom. So you have that portion. You have your portion, and we are all specialists. So dealing in the military, I was able to see that and how we're all specialists and say, wow, the Europeans are using our science every day of the week, all day, against us too, because I saw the Navy and the Army and the Air Force and Marines line up. I saw them all in meetings. I saw how that goes, and they don't necessarily come from the same school, but they have to do contracts and do in business. It's never a debate. It's never a clashing in that way, because they all have a joint mutual understanding of what they have to do to maintain and taking over our 23 million square miles of useful land. So we ain't really, so we supposed to be, it's our science. So that's how I see it. You know, we should be utilizing more protocols along those lines with the unification thing. Like I said, so no matter what happens, people come to the door, they knock on the door, they come into the meeting. Oh, this meeting is not about arguing. We're all, you know, because a lot of these meetings, they have people there that are doctors, they're naturopathic doctors, some of these brothers are carpenters, some of these sisters are midwives and seamstresses, and you come into debate when there's really millions of dollars in the room, and they're debating or even speaking out of turn because there's an elder here that cures cancer and gout, but you're talking about a concept whether we're Moorish or Nubian or whether we're Muslim or Christian. We're like, but this person here that heals cancer. So these people outrank you. You know, and so the whole thing is, we're supposed to be having those big types of, when we have those big type of meetings, those are trillions of dollars that's in the room that we're not really really coming through. And then also, just that's just on the social, not on the economic level, but as on just on the structural level, you know, whatever people are passionate about, whenever they knock at the door, oh, great, all I care about is killing the European. Okay, great, sit at the fire, sit at the Marine table, and y'all work that out. There's no arguments. It's just we must come together because we already know that we agree that we're original people, that we already know that we don't like vaccines. We already know that we don't like certain, you know, fake holidays. So we don't have to talk about it, you know, so that I about those things. So I'm more, you know, advocating that we utilize the unification protocol and one form or another, you know. And like I said, you know, inshallah, I will be putting that pamphlet out, you know, this summer for you know, so that people can begin to use it, you know. But anything that we make in that whole sphere that other people have made may have other ideas about along those lines. And so, but you know, so that's something I advocate to help us come together, you know, and utilize our passions as our strengths instead of being adversarial. You know, just in a specialist way. Islam.
Wow. And you know, I heard what you said, brother, but you know, when it comes to us, and when I say us, I'm talking about black people in particular, when it comes to us, you know, the plan that you just laid out and the formation of it all is absolutely beautiful. And it will be even more beautiful if we as a people could come together like that. But there is something, and maybe Brother James, you can help me identify it, because I might not say it correctly, but there is something missing in the spirit and in the heart of Black people today. And so those of us who claim to be conscious, it is easy for us to come together like we're coming together now on this phone call to address some of the issues that are going on in our communities. But the people who are actually implementing the violence, implementing the division, implementing the chaos are not here. And those are the people that we need to reach out to, and we have to develop strategies to get their attention, because if we don't, of course, no one else is going to. And so if we see that a particular group, whether it's a gang or whether it's drug dealers or whether it's pimps, whether it's sex traffickers, whether it's pedophiles, whatever it is, if we don't address it and issue a point of correction, our communities will continue to be destroyed generation after generation. And I just want to point out just a few more talking points as it relates to the articles in the final call. Never before have I seen, and this is just me, never before have I seen one issue of the final call address so many, just I can't even describe them, just pitiful issues. In one issue, it addressed pimping and sex trafficking, and then the abuse of women, then the exaltation that we as women need to go through and elevate ourselves in order to usher in a new world, or reform a new world, that the women have to be reformed. And when I looked at all of those articles, and we discussed this a little bit, Brother James, on Friday, you know, all of this abuse of women that is going on in the communities, and most of the abuse, of course, is inflicted by men. And as long as that fiber of unity and family continues to be destroyed, continues to be unraveled, we're going to have these issues. So the issue of actually coming together seems far-fetched to me if we don't come together in civilization. Because all of these things that the final call addressed this past week are uncivilized behaviors that are flooding our communities across the country and across the world. So I'm going to come to you, Brother Anthony. I want to talk to you briefly about this abuse of women and how can men reach men to reform some of that behavior that is wreaking havoc on our community.
Lead by example. Simply, if I'm in the community and I see a lady or a young lady and I want to say hi to her, I call her, address her as sister or queen. The way that I approach her with respect and treat her just like I would treat a male. I accept him as a king. I accept her as a queen. And I think that the way that we are approached to females and the things that we say to them probably has to be addressed and changed. So if we address the female as queen or sister, I think we'd be showing her more respect than bitch or hoe, excuse my language, but bitch or hoe or anything derogatory that would demean a female's presence. Also, I noticed that a lot of the things, the clothing that they're designing is very sexually appealing to men, which makes men address the female in a negative way. If women will wear clothes that's not really appealing to a male and make it look more like she's a business orientated instead of a hood female, that would also change the way that men address the female. Because there was an article on Facebook where they had a female dressed up in shorts and a halter top, and then another female dressed up in a skirt and a nice blouse. And the question was put to the men was, which one of these women would you choose to have? Everybody chose the one that wore the dress with the blouse because she looked more business-orientated. She looked like she was about something. She looked like she was on top of her business. The other girl looked like she wasn't about nothing. She just flamboyant with the way she looks. She dressing for the attention. So a lot has to do with the way females dress, and a lot has to do with the way men approach the women. So that my thing would be to start addressing females as queens or sisters. And I'm trying to practice that. And while I'm on talking to the guys in Mississippi and all over the country, when I see they women on there, I address them as queen or sister, you know, and I treat them with respect. I always show them pictures of my wife. I got a young wife. I'm 45. She's 29. So I got a young wife. She's a Muslim, too. And we use our pictures as examples to show how family-oriented people are supposed to be, you know. So that would be my way of dealing with that situation, to start changing the way we approach them by simply calling women sisters or queens.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let me hear from you, brother Mark D.
Yes. So, well, I can think that men, we should, in our own time, like, you know, similar to what he was just saying, adding on to that, is referring to women in a positive light and being fair with our criticisms of each other and of women when they're just talking amongst men. So I could think that may be one way to encourage men, because as far as, you know, not to be on a petty level or something, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like building that character up so that way if anybody is like that, you know, you just correct each other. You know, you have to correct each other like in any other aspect when you want to be better. So you have to be open for correction and be allowed and then foster, you know, that environment of correction. So that way when your brother's saying something and it's just you and your homie and you and your good brother, you know, and he says such and such, that you correct the brother, you know what I'm saying? And that you allow yourself to be corrected by another brother, you know, like, so then you like, so then when the brother's saying, well, then, you know, my baby mom is so messed up in this way, the brother might say, oh, you know, correct him in his thinking, or say, you know, instead of just maybe feeding into the person, or saying, wow, yeah, I agree, or whatever. But amongst yourselves, or amongst men, you know, we have to do that more often. And be more open and foster that type of environment, so that way, you know, just be a more generalized respect, you know, going around for women.
Okay,
I agree.
So,
yeah, you know, I agree. Again, and applaud the words and efforts of our brothers who spoke previously. Again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us and does teach us that the root of our problem is spiritual and it's ignorance. In the scripture, in Hosea, it states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." For a man to abuse a woman is clear testimony that he's ignorant to who and what a woman is. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and the minister, of course, continues that teaching, that the woman is the second self of God. She's a co-operator with God and co-creator with God. So much so that all human life that comes in the planet has to come, or on the planet, has to come through her. as the life is gestating in her womb. The disposition of the woman, her mental and spiritual disposition, actually shapes the mind and inclination of that unborn child. So the scripture says a wise child is the gladness of the father, but a foolish child is the heaviness of the mother. In a wonderful article entitled, A Reformed World Starts with a Reformed Exalted Woman, that by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that's in this week's Final Call newspaper, the centerfold article. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the woman, if true to her feminine nature, is really an advance over the man, not because of her beauty, her accomplishments, or even the nature of her love when correctly awakened, but because she possesses the womb, the laboratory wherein are fashioned those who will inhabit the world. The womb is where she cooperates with or is an assistant to Allah in the formation, the reformation, and the final completion of the human being. So there is no reformation without the reform of a woman.
That's right.
So it is our ignorance of who the woman is, compounded by a forced self-hatred generated through the transatlantic slave experience, wherein we were taught to hate anything black, anyone black, and ultimately led to the hating of ourselves. We were made baby-making machines. The slave master forced us to go into our women and make her pregnant, to cohabit with her with no anticipation or thought of being responsible for the product that we were making and was ultimately produced. This degenerated the mind of the woman that she had to just sleep with men absent of the power and the commitment of love and respect. We must always remember the root of our problem, the source from which our actions spring. And we have to go to the root. We are suffering the residual effects of that. It is hypocritical for the white man in the government or elsewhere to decry the irresponsible behavior of our black males as it relates to our unwillingness to take care of the women that we impregnate and ultimately the children that we produce. Well, we've had centuries of practice in that. Forced on us by the enemy to go into our women, not only our women, but indiscriminately. It could be our mother. It could be our sister. It could be our niece, or it could be our aunts or cousin. He didn't care of any family relationship among his black slaves. Make more black babies for me. Make more black slaves for me. And don't worry about taking care of them. They will look to me for care. They will look to me for protection. They will look to me for the satisfaction of their needs. No wonder the black male is as he is in his disrespect and ultimate and consequential abuse of his black woman. Yes. We have to take responsibility for this crime, and it is, in fact, a crime, but we can never, ever forget from whence it sprung. The conditioning, not over a year or 10 years or 20 years, but we're talking centuries of this kind of false activity. Can you imagine the mentality it produced in relationship to our perception of our women? Yes, we treat our women like a sex object. And then the enemy compounds that by dressing our women, as Brother was referring to, in styles that titillate our sexual desires. So it's the knowledge of the woman. This the black man must be taught first and foremost. Who is she? What is she? And who are you, black man, and what are you? And once that knowledge is taught and understood, then you will see a decrease in the abuse of our women. Although the Nation of Islam is not perfect, we are exemplary in that area. No member of the FOI will put his hand on a woman without consequence. They know that. They know that. So not only are we taught the knowledge of who the woman is as co-creator and co-operator with God, there's also a disciplinary action that is enforced in the FOI. You put your hands on your wife and beat her, then we will show you what it feels like to be beaten helplessly. So we are exemplary. We are exemplary in that. But, of course, the first thing is teach us the knowledge of self and the knowledge of the woman, and the abuse will decline. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, listen, this is what we're going to do. I want to hear from the listening audience. So those of you who have questions or comments, please press 1 on your dial pad. And again, I want to thank our sponsor, Nation's Brand Bread, for sponsoring us tonight. So if you have a question or comment for anyone on the panel, please press 1 on your dial pad. And I do have a question from... Falalia? I think her name is Falalia Planet. I don't know what that means. I hope I'm not saying a bad word. But she says that she wants to know, what do you do about women who keep going back to abusive men? That might not even be a woman. I don't know. But what do you do about women who keep going back to abusive men? Men have constantly risked themselves for women who end up taking the abuser back. What are we supposed to do? Oftentimes the woman turns on us. What is the reason for this? All right. Anybody wants to address that?
Yes. Islam, yeah, That's always the issue with abusers and anybody, any form of abuse. They might even have, you know, I don't know if that's Stockholm syndrome, at quote unquote, as Europeans might refer to it, but it's, you know, something that low self-esteem, you know, really transcends on emotional levels. So it really, you know, it really perverts the mind and the spirit in that way. And so we need constant therapy, because no blacks really get therapy in no forms or fashion really too much, you know, except for what we self-medicate ourselves in a lot of negative ways. But in general, just exercising that energy and transmuting that energy in a positive way, that's the skill set that we as men have. We need to begin to show other people and show other men how to really do that, because that's an art. But with the sisters, you know, we have to really give them the therapy and constantly, it's like dealing with a drug addict or any type of level on that level, because you have to know that that's something that is, it could be for the long haul, is deeply rooted in the spiritual plane and in the emotional body. Because, you know, that's where Europeans are even just now trying to get a little hip to the mind-body connection of, you know, as far as in the recovery, because that's a part of recovery. And we're dealing with, you know, everybody that's been raised in this messed up, you know, paradigm and this perverted system has been injured in some form or fashion on emotional levels and spiritual levels. And most people are stuck at whatever place in time and vibration that they were emotionally hurt. So if they got raped at age 10, they may be a big lady that's doing a lot of stuff or whatever, but emotionally that person will react to you as a 10-year-old when those triggers are pushed, you know, so to speak. So it's basically, we got to know that, in, you know, just the people that's going back to them, we have to have patience to that person, and we have to set up a system of, like the Brother James was just talking about, of consequence to certain things and deterrence. You know, I'm all about, you know, deterrence are very healthy. Because we should develop some mechanisms that make it hard to go back to that person, and also it allows a person to get the help they need, and I don't know, I'm not advocating we use the exact same methods as you would in drug and alcohol, but you know, some of those types of tactics that have been used in the past still are needed, because they used to drop squad brothers, I'm sure, in all these cities, and I know one elder myself who, you know, he started his whole nonprofit ministry out of him and his buddies just took any of their friends were there on drugs, you know, they just kept them in the warehouse for a month till they got off their drugs, you know, and they just got their whole neighborhood off like that kind of. But the whole thing was, you know, and these are like Spanish brothers, but for women, it may have to be something similar, you know, that training, you know, be able to remove them from that system. It's called intervention. In some levels, you know, people need intervention. So that's what that spiritual intervention is all about. But it's a lot of times it might have to go down to physical intervention because they might have to be removed from those situations. A lot of times Europeans have made culture where people are so-called free, where, you know, they're really only free. The main thing about the American system is that you're free to do the wrong thing. So the freedom is sometimes you got to really remove that illusion of independence, because we're all interdependent. So, we, you know, at that point, we have to be able to have grow the culture where other people, instead of 302 in their family and putting them into the mental crazy house, that they have these services that are from people that are in that wing of the nation or in that wing of your ministry that can do that outreach, because that's a full-time job and that's something that needs to be dedicated to. That's something that you need to have training. Like I went to, you know, my certified peer specialist training. You know, I got that in different mental health first aid. And of course, all that already learned, because you know this is why you know the nation was so successful, even taking people off of heroin and all the hardest drugs ever that Europeans could never do. But we must be able to re-implement these things, but in a more polished form and upgrade some of the technology. But women want to go back. Some of them we just really shouldn't allow go back. And it should make it very hard on both ends for the aggressor, for the violator, and the woman themselves, because people have emotional ties that override their logic and override their needs. So these are just seven different wheels. You got emotional body, mental body, spiritual body, and therefore, you know, a lot of the problems, you know, it might be not solved on a mental plane. That's why you can't go to a shrink or a psychiatrist. These are emotional issues that must be worked out in a different way, and people will be tied to each other through sex and through relationships on those emotional levels, and you might just have to remove them and intervene until you can untangle some of that mess and the sister can get some kind of therapy. So I'm all for interventions if they're in certain levels of necessity.
I would like to respond to the lady's question. What I would suggest that Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I would suggest that in a situation where a female is in an ongoing abusive relationship, there's only two things she can do. She can either leave him and find somebody that's not abusive, or she can sit that person down and talk to him and let him know that if it continues, she would make try to leave him or leave him, you know, because that's the only like the brother just said, it's an emotional thing where a female, when a man and a female come together and they join a union, they become emotionally attached. So it makes it hard for her to break away. So in order to deal with an abusive relationship, she would have to actually make up her mind to either leave him or sit him down and tell him what he's doing wrong and give him a chance to try to work his situation out mentally. Because if he can continue to do that, then she would have no other choice but to just go ahead and leave. So my thing would be, if it's an ongoing abusive relationship where it's physical violence involved, where he's beating on her, she needs to leave him. It's nothing to do with that situation but just leave. You know, she can try the counseling and all that stuff, but if he's not ready for that and he's not willing to do that, then she has no other choice but to go on and go where she got to go, because if she continues to stay there, the abuse is going to keep going on. So that would be my suggestion to her. My answer to her question is, go ahead and just leave him and you know, do what she got to do to break away from that, because as long as she's staying there and she's emotionally attached to this guy, it's going to always keep going on unless he make up his mind that he's going to stop and try to change.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. And Brother James, do you have a comment on that? Brother James?
Well,
yes, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I didn't want any background noise I might generate to interfere with what brothers were saying. So I'm back now. Sorry about that. But I will say this, and unfortunately, Queen, after I make my comment, I'm going to ask if I could be excused.
Yes, sir.
But thank you. Thank you so much. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that the greatest need of the human being is to be made secure. And, of course, he's taught us that every human need is a human right. So the woman not only has the right to be made secure, she has the need to be made secure. And unfortunately, women who have not the knowledge of themselves and therefore do not have or have the right measure of value of themselves tie their security to a man. Look at a man as their source of security. And so if they cannot tie themselves to the source of security, which is Almighty God, and they can't do so if they have not the knowledge of their relationship to God and their value that has been placed in them by God, then they'll look at a man as a source of security. And so that need, which is the greatest human need of security, the need of the human being, which is to be made secure, overrides their common sense, their sense of reason, their sense of logic. Those that return to those relationships, they know in their heart of hearts that the man is going to beat them again. They know it. They know it. But the need to be made secure, at least when he's not drinking or when he's not beating on me, I will at least have him with me, because I need him. I love him and I need him. This is a sickness that needs to be addressed. Counseling, of course, as our brother said, is very necessary to build up the self-esteem in the woman or rebuild it is very necessary. And I can't think of anything that builds self-esteem than the acceptance of my relationship to God and how valuable I am, not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of Almighty God. This is what the women in the Nation of Islam are taught. And not only taught, they're allowed to demonstrate that in their classes, in the work that they do, in the positions that they hold, and above all, with the respect that they command because of the way they conduct themselves, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they act at home and abroad. And the fact that they know that they are secured by the FOI, the fruit of Islam. And I know my brother Khaled, may Allah be pleased with him, said that we'll kill a rock for our women. You see?
No, that's right.
I can remember, and I'm going to close there, I can remember in the 70s when I first came, the early 70s, when I first came to the Nation of Islam, and the mosque that I attended was in Harlem on 116th Street and Lenox Avenue. And this, around there, was the center of drug activity. And I remember coming out of the subway and walking to the mosque and watching sisters in their white garments walking from the subway to the mosque. And I literally witnessed how brothers who were engaged in foul talk and language and drinking and just acting a fool, when they saw the sisters approaching, I mean, I don't care how drunk they were, they straightened up and literally bowed to the sisters as they walked by, because they knew that these sisters were worthy of that kind of respect, because these were sisters that were acting according to the knowledge of themselves and the correct measure of their value. Again, not as man has valued them, but as Almighty God, Allah, their creator, has valued them. And of course, they did understand what would happen, the consequences of disrespecting any one of them. So let me just read this, what the minister said regarding the exaltation of women all over the world. He said, if we are oppressed in America, it is nothing but right and justice that we speak out against oppression, but as we speak out against our oppressor and our brothers and sisters in Africa and the Caribbean and throughout the world speak out against their oppressors, and as persons of different and varying races and colors speak up against oppression, we notice that women all over the world are speaking out against not perceived oppression, but a very real and tangible oppression. In the United States, which is one of the most advanced societies presently on the earth, women are looked upon as playthings. So it is with Europe, where the woman is also looked upon as a plaything. In an advanced society, women are looked upon as playthings, he asks. How advanced, then, can that society be? And in many parts of the Islamic world, although we pay lip service to the great liberation effort of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, men relegate women to a less than human position in society, or no role at all. And in many cultures, women are definitely oppressed. How advanced can this world be if the leaders of the world have denigrated the position of women? And if those so-called primitive societies have not elevated the woman then the nations of the world are depressed, oppressed, and suppressed. And the greatest of oppression and suppression is the kind fermented by ignorance. It is that suppression and oppression, these are my words now, that relates to the absence of knowledge of who the woman is, both in the man and both in the woman, that ferments this suppression. Because of this ignorance, this is the minister now, because of this ignorance to the value of women and worldwide acts of oppression and suppression, Almighty God Allah, in his infinite mercy and power, has set the earth aflame or on flame with two great powerful forces, which the Holy Quran calls Gog and Magog. In Arabic, it's Yajuj and Majuj. And I'm not going to get into the explanation, but I would encourage everyone to get this article, get this issue of the Final Call newspaper. The headlining title, of course, is Beaten, Branded, and Abused, Dealing with the Abuse and Beating of Women. Issue dated June 24, 2014. So, my dear Queen Aziza, to my distinguished co-panelists and to the listening audience and participating audience online, thank you so much for the time you have extended to me to be a part of this most important discussion. And again, I ask if I may respectfully be excused at this time.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Brother James, for participating as much as you did. And, of course, as always, a wealth of information you provided. So thank you, sir.
All praises be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay. Area code 816. You have a question or a comment? Area code 816. Going once, going twice.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. I am so sorry. I was on mute as well. I didn't want a lot of background. I'm like them, family.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
First, I would like to... Yes, sir. First, I would like to thank you, sister, for having this show. I really enjoyed it. And I would like also to thank the brothers for their participation in this discussion. I mean, it's just been overwhelming just listening to everyone's point of view and their input on the questions that you have given to them. I just wanted, I mean, Brother James, as he was speaking, I'm thinking along with the same thing that he was speaking, and I'm like, praise be to Allah, he touched on some of those points. And there was another brother when he was speaking about coming together and solving problems that we have on a panel instead of having arguments with one another. I love that comment. And also the brother that spoke on going out in the community and the things that he's doing with other people and being active in the community. So I just, as a sister, I just want to thank you all. Thank my brothers for all that you're doing and all that you have done for the rise of our people.
Thank you,
yes,
sister.
Ma'am. Yes, thank you, yes, sis. Oh. And can we have your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Sister Teresa. I'm here in Kansas City, Missouri. I've also wanted to add, it is so important for that black male to be a direct input on or direct influence on the woman as far as his children, the male and the female. But a lot of times we look at that it's important for the male with the male relationship, which is number one. But as a woman, there's been many things that I look to my father because of the strength that was in him And so we will pick men that is like our father. So, you know, I just wanted to add that. And
yes.
And fortunate by Allah's will, I have a strong black brother that is moving forward and in the nation and doing what he has to do and trying to better himself as a black man. So I thank Allah for that.
Excellent.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for sharing, Sister Teresa, and thank you for listening and participating. And inshallah,
yes, ma'am.
Keep listening. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Walaikum salam. Okay, if you have a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. We'll take your question. Excuse me, all your comments. And we have a comment in the chat room from Krista. And Krista is calling everybody out. She says the Muslims, the Christians, the Moors, the Israelites, the Panthers, and the whoever. I have lost 2 nephews and a niece to gun violence. They were not thugs. 2 killed by stray bullets and 1 killed for his jacket and shoes. Who will protect us from men who have abandoned their post? There would be no sex trafficking, no prostitution if you men, oh my, would have a zero tolerance in our community. Now it seems that the men have joined the system that was designed to destroy us all. Ooh, that's a very strong language. First of all, let me clear the air right quick. Because Krista, me personally, and this is just from me, I really don't like when we make generalities because I don't believe, I don't believe in grouping people into a category. When you say all of the men, it's not all of the men, sister. It's just a few. And even though we may be overwhelmed with the things that are occurring in our communities, I can bear witness of being on this planet for 48 years that it's not all of our men. So I can understand your hurt, your grief, and your pain, but the same men that you are condemning are the same men that can save you. So anyone who wants to, Brother Mahdi,
yes,
or Brother Anthony,
so
anyone who wants to respond.
Yeah, I feel the, first of all, I like to say I feel the sister's pain, and it's totally understandable because
yes,
of the long scars suffered and everything, and people that have lost loved ones, and we all have lost loved ones. So our hearts go out to you, sister, and may Allah, you know, soothe you and ease your pain, and may Allah soothe all of us who have suffered these types of losses. Also, it's something along the lines of, you know, that monster being so big, you know, people have to be, you know, we have to be realistic in what we can do and what changes we can do that can be effective in any way, shape, or form. So a lot of the issues come from like-minded people not really living together. So a lot of what, even what the Dear Holy Apostle agenda back in the day, I don't know how far it is now, but, you know, having our own lands and stuff. But in every city, let's say in every, even if, in every city, certain, you know, the people should, you know, like they have a Chinatown and all that. So those like-minded beings, like I always tell any Moors, y'all should be finding out where in Pennsylvania you're going to live, where in New York, where in the United States or whatever, because when these people, you're living next to heathens. You're living next to 85%. So what happens is, these things are happening the more these last days and times of that Piscean era and that before that everything gets washed anew, you know, you're suffering these real dark days. So those who are like-minded in spirit, I advocate, and these all of my teachers, you know, we have always advocated that we should be, you know, you live next door to heathens, and then the police knock on your door, and then you're going to be the king of Morocco or something, or you want to be a good person. But these, you're caught in the melee of the Sodom and the Gomorrah, but you are not being Lot, and you're not leaving town like a Lot told Lot. You know, so the whole thing is, we are still mixing and mingling with that type of element, thinking that we can save everybody, but you're still caught in it. But when you have to, that 19th degree is still self-savior. So we still need to be amongst ourselves as conscious community. That's why I was thinking about it earlier when we were talking about it. No, I'm not necessarily trying to save the whole world, because that's not, that Allah didn't send me here to save the whole world. He sent me here self-savior, save myself in kind. So therefore, Allah can do his job on all the big ticket items, but I can't, you know. So the thing is, our job is to go amongst ourselves and find places that we can live amongst ourselves and live out our culture, live out our laws without having to mesh so much. And I'm not saying being isolationist either, but these are a big part of why you can go into, even though they're minorities and they're original people like us, but you can go to some levels of certain Spanish communities or certain other ethnic communities, and they're going to have a code of ethics that they agree upon. And yes, they have violence and all of that, but their wanton random violence is not so much is sanctioned, because even being not necessarily conscious folks, they're still living out some kind of culture because they have enough sense to live amongst themselves. So it's something where we have to come out amongst from Manipur in that way. To, like we, you know, like we used to say in the back of the final call, you know, like we want these certain amount of states. But I'm not, you know, so I'm not saying that it's practical to do in that way in form now. But it's something where we, and also the men stepping up, have definitely the men have to step up and do a better job, and also it has to be a culture of that grown, because most of us, a lot of our children, last couple of generations, have been raised by single mothers. So a lot of what the issues have been, a lot of the sisters have to look inwards and still have self-reflection to say, well, I don't like a lot of men, but I produce these men out here too. So I'm looking at a reflection of what we are, of what the women have produced, and what have they have erroneously thought that they could do independently. I could do it. I can be independent. So now we're suffering from 2-3 generations of single motherhood dump. So therefore, a lot of the sisters are, and these young generations especially, they are raising these thugs and they're raising these terrible men that they complain about. They can't find the men, but you just raised all these men. So they're terrible men because you keep raising them by yourself. So it has to be some self-reflection too on the black community as far as men are concerned, to step up in the empty gap. And like the sister said, for those men who actually left their posts. But also to the mothers to have to say, I'm the first teacher. So actually, if the thug thing is coming out of me being alone and choosing the wrong man and keep being the center post where the European can use to create, because the mother, like Brother James was saying, that's the most important factor right there with building that community. So they keep our women isolated. They get rid of these men, and any women left, they're raising these people that are not, you know, they're not what they're supposed to do. So it's a double-edged sword, and it's something that is feeding on both ends of itself. So we have to, you know, I think, remove ourselves in part physically from by stopping living next door to everybody, and live in a community with your build communities of conscious people from all persuasions, and then be able to stabilize your community, and then people you build it, they'll come. You know, people will lead by example. So we have to begin to do that, so it won't become a vicious cycle of all senseless murders and then people just crying and everything's happening to us and why us. You know, we have to submit to the Creator and to what has been in the past and what works. And what doesn't work, we have to have the humbleness to come together and seek Allah's guidance for that, which has already been given. You know, so my heart goes out to the sister, like I said, and all of the families and lost loved ones, whether popularly known or not. And you know, and I just speak to that. It's not.
Okay, brother, you just said a mouthful. Oh my God. You know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Okay. Brother, now, who was that? Was that Brother Mark D? That just spoke?
Yes, 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 ma'am. Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, I still can't tell you two apart. Brother Anthony, is there anything you want to say or add to what Brother Mark D said?
Yeah. The only thing I want to add to that is that most females, when they get in a relationship with these males and they lay down and they have these kids and the male end up leaving the relationship and she's forced to raise the baby by her own, and most of the time it's a boy, the boy usually grows up without a father. He gets wild, but the female can't tame him and raise him, because only a male really can raise, can teach a boy how to be a man. So if the female is left to raise the male and he grows up in the streets and he becomes wild, he resorts to violence sometimes. And as a result of that, innocent people get killed. And when innocent people get killed, then you got females, like the lady that asked the question, who suffer the loss. So if the father is not home to teach the boys how to be men and guide them the proper way where they can go to school and get jobs and become productive citizens, most of the time the guys end up growing up in the streets being gang members, toting guns, they end up in prison or they end up shooting somebody and killing somebody and getting time in prison. And other people suffer the loss behind that. So I feel the ladies, I feel her pain, and I understand what she went through. But at the same token, us men who have women and make these babies, we have to learn to stick with that relationship and watch these kids grow up. Because if we leave that relationship and leave the woman with the responsibility of raising that baby by herself, chances are, if it's a male, he's going to get out there and get into stuff he ain't got no business doing, and it's going to result in him either going to jail, getting killed, or he's going to end up hurting somebody. So that's where I feel that our problem might be coming in, as far as situations where people are suffering losses behind other men or young adults shooting people and getting into the wrong situation. So that's the only thing I wanted to add, was that I believe that might have been a situation where two young men or a young man and growed up without a father, didn't have a proper teaching, got a hold to a gun, and ended up killing somebody in her family. And, you know, she suffered a loss behind that.
Yes, sir. Okay. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take these two comments on the phone, and then I'm going to address something that you said, Brother Mati. Okay. Area code 901, your mic is now live. Area code 901.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Salam.
Thanks, Salam.
Salam, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing perfect, sister. I'm sorry I had it on mute. I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm glad to be back to hear your voice. And my other brother.
Yes,
if I could, I would like to share something dealing with the situation and the things that have been said on the show. The thing that we are really centered around is really civility. And that is a courtesy or a politeness or a polite attention or expression to something. And civic simply means actually building a civil citizenship within our communities. And I believe, dear sister and dear family, that the masses of us are civic-minded. I really believe that. And that is only means that they're concerned with the well-being of the community. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're civilized. When we're civilized, we are made civil and we bring out the primitive, uneducated portion and go into the social and private life to be enlightened. And that's what the messenger of Allah taught us. The words are simple, but he said, accept your own and be yourself. If we did that, this conversation never would surface because we would all be civilized under the civil law of Islam, which we in truth are not. That is our real reality, and it's not male against female or female against male. It's all about being civilized, which means you move into an advanced culture or society, and you are polite with it. You're well-bred, and you become a family within the civilization. We're in the civilization, but we're not yet civilized human beings because our minds are rooted in self and correcting behavior of those whom we feel are deeming ourselves having more education.
Mm-hmm.
We're dehumanizing each other. We are walking prison within ourselves, and that is a problem. And I mentioned last time I was on the show talking about prisons, it's not a place for reformation. It is a degenerative warehousing and confinement that's aimed at deteriorating the mental, the moral, the physical, and the social qualities of the individuals. And that's kind of where we are. And the messenger said, accept your own. If I ask the question, who is our own? I would get a lot of answers. And some of them would be correct and some of them would not be. And then if I would say, what's the condition of our communities? We have mosques in our communities, but our communities are falling and deteriorating. So it's something that we're not doing as believers. And if you go into the Holy Quran in Surah 75, the resurrection, it is called Qiyamah, I believe. The 14th ayah, or the 13th ayah, says, man shall on that day be informed of what he sent before and what he put off. Nay, man is evidence against himself. It's not the female. It's not the male. It is that we have not realized something that's even said in Biblia. The scripture said, ye are all God's children of the Most High God. Well, the highest God that we knew was Master Farid Muhammad, who raised the messenger of Allah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we have before us today the seed of Elijah, which is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we have the guidance, but you cannot civilize a person who has been made not to be embarrassed. We're not embarrassed when we leave our MGT or our GCC. We look at that as a relief. And many of us are so low down that we would go into the masjids and ask an imam to marry us when we know that imam is not state licensed. So when that divorce occurs, that man walks away from that sister. The sister can't get relief. She can't go to the court because the marriage is not even on the dockets. What kind of human being would stoop that low? We just got to put all the truth out here, dear sister, on the table. That's why men are becoming women and women are becoming men. Look at the clothing that we wear. We have gone from the loose-fitting suits to the tight suits now. Men got on these little tight, snugged-up suits. They're wearing polyester now. They're wearing see-through shirts now. Women are dressing like men. This thing is changing. So we have to look at the environment and look at what we can do as the best example. Divorce in the nation should be nearly none.
Yes, sir.
What happens, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, I know I'm sort of on the soapbox, but I just, I'm enjoying this so much. And the sister that called in, I don't think she meant any harm, and I'm glad the young brother came behind her to try to clean it up a little bit. But we don't need necessarily to just look at what she said. We need to take what she said and move it into a direction that it affects all of us so much that we'll never have to hear it again. I spoke at a human rights summit in Texas not long ago, and I said this on Elevated Places. But the last thing I did was be greeted by the people that invited me, a man, his wife, his children, and the grandson who was 10 years old. Dear sister and dear family, at the end of this thing, that young brother came up to me and asked to shake my hand. I said, yes, older brother. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 10 years old. I said, wow. And he said, you know, he said, I like that suit you got on. And he said, I've never met Mr. Farrakhan, but he's always clean. And he said, I would like to be like y'all one day. He said, but brother, he said, can I say something? I said, yes, sir, little brother. And his parents had sort of stepped back because they'd never seen him talk like that. These words changed my life. This 10-year-old looked up at me with them beautiful brown eyes and said, death, Mr. Muhammad, lives in our souls. A 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old.
And Sister Water settled in my eyes. I've never heard anyone say that. This is a 10-year-old who saw something either that I said partially and edited it with something else that he sees in his fifth grade, you know, class or somewhere. He brought that, sister. He said, death lives in our souls. And I will end what I what I come for. I just wanted to let the world know and us know that there should be no arguments between us. We are all struggling in this thing, and we all can do better than we are. And I thank you for letting me share those words, dear sister.
Thank you, Dr. Salama. What a pleasure to hear from you again, dear brother. And you know you need to call me because I need to know where you've been. So give me a call later.
Uh-oh, I see that switch and that bell coming out.
Yes, yes, you do. I'm from Lake.
Oh, praise the Duke.
Okay, listen. We're going to take some more calls. Okay, Brother Gene, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen. I'm going to pass on my fine man by the grace of Allah. I'm going to pass on my comment. I think Dr. Salam pretty much covered everything that I was going to comment on. All praises due to Allah.
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Dean, for listening, and just hang on. If you change your mind, okay. Area code 289. Your mic is now live.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am. This is Sister Tissa calling, Sister Aziza. I've been listening in, and thank you for the invitation. Brother Jihad had me, gave me the details for tonight's call, and I was able to hear a great deal. Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. I wanted to, you know, I think it's really interesting, and I like the discussion that we're having this evening. I think it's important for us to have these types of discussions, especially as men and women who are following any pathway that is leading in the pathway of righteousness. First, I want to begin by saying I bear witness there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his true righteous servant. And I'd like to continue by just saying that in response to our sister who is going through a lot of pain, I'd like that sister to know something. I'd like her to know, sister, I too am a single parent. In fact, I've been divorced twice. I have many children. I have seven. I'm very proud to say that. And I, as a single mother, am handling a household of four men to be, or men in the making, because I do have a teenager, as well as three little girls, or three young women, rather. And it is not easy in my household. And for many years, in between marriages, or after my last marriage, in addition, I kept feeling like I needed to have a man come in my household in order for me to do something for myself and for my family. And the blessing I can really say comes when we really submit ourselves to this. I'm speaking about the teachings that are given through the Nation of Islam, through the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, when we put ourselves in a position like this, for whatever reason, when our marriages fail, a great deal of it, we can say, falls on the man's shoulders, but we have to also take responsibility for where we are as women in that situation. So there's really no blame on anybody, irregardless of what is done by either party, because I really have come to realize we should thank our ex-husbands or ex-wives for the experiences they brought us through, because it's all a learning experience and a lesson in order to purify us and make us better for this walk and this road and this work with our people. Because if you don't know what it feels like to be on the other end of the stick, being single after being married, being alone after having someone in your life, then you're not able to relate to our people's common condition around us. And so therefore, if we cannot relate to them, we can't help them as we help ourselves. So the more we help ourselves and address ourselves, we should be busying ourselves with the Lord's work. The number one thing I tell single mothers, you need to call your children to prayer, and we need to keep our prayers going in our household. If your children are going off the chain, it's because we're not praying. And if we want to make sure that we maintain a house where a man is present, and I'm not speaking about a physical man, I'm talking about Allah himself, then you got to keep prayer
Come
going
on,
in this house. The next thing we need to get on top of our units, if you are an MGT or if you're a woman who has any kind of skills, practice your skills. Get involved in doing these things. Don't do them just because you have a man. Don't cook fancy meals because you have a man. Get the fancy meals for your children. Start to do and take care of your family as if there's a man sitting there at the head of that table. Because there is, and that man is God, and he is witnessing you and everything that we're doing. And if we are doing things not to be seen of men, but to be known of God, then there is to be a time when we can be blessed, because we're promised this as believers, with this person that we're looking for to fill and fulfill that need. But until such time, why don't you busy yourselves doing the Lord's work and find yourselves in the temple as Mary was, and doing the work in the community as is necessary, and really keeping ourselves so involved in God's work that a man would have to go and find and seek God in order to find you. That's what we need to do as women. And I would call brothers to do the same thing. And I will honestly tell that sister who's listening in, I have no reason to be bitter or embittered by men or my feeling of towards men any longer. And I did have a father who was present in my household. I was raised up by two parents. My father's still with my mother. They were childhood sweethearts. So I knew nothing about divorce, separation, or any of these other things that I'm experiencing right now. But I will say this, that irregardless of having a good father, as a woman, we still have to condition ourselves to be good woman and to be worthy woman of a good man. And that's what we want to do. That's who we want to be. So stop being upset and angry about what you feel that you're seeing, because the only thing we're seeing is really our own lack of duty. It has nothing to do with the men in our lives. It's really us. If we're not dutiful to Allah, then we cannot find a man who will be dutiful to us. Thank you so much, Sister Jesus, for your time. And I really would ask our sister to also read Surah 29, which is Al-Ankabut, the spider. Section 5, the Quran is a purifier. She'd really find a great deal of wisdom in that. And may Allah bless us all to continue to rise and shine and be ourselves. Thanks a lot, Sister Aziza, for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Tissa. Woo! Thank you. Wow, Dr. Tissa, Dr.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, sir.
Praise Allah. Oh, wow. Wow. Love you, sis.
Assalamualaikum. Thank you, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam.
Okay. I'm sorry, brothers. We got a whole lot of calls. Okay, area code 267. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Brother Hassan McKinney, Philadelphia. I first and foremost would like to thank all who spoke before me, and of course, you, Queen Aziza, I love you, and the two brothers who are also panelists. I'm extremely grateful. I can truly feel the statement that the sister who spoke just before me. You know, I felt that in the bottom of my soul. She,
yes,
to me, exact and correct about how we as human beings who have the challenge of doing the right thing to get right results no matter what, no matter where, no matter how much we believe we know and or can do, our Creator has said for those of us who pass the test, we receive the reward. Those who refuse, okay, to do the work necessary to pass the test, receive the punishment. All of us who reach a certain level of maturity in life's everyday, life's endeavor, we realize that there are some good things that we can do that will make us feel positive and powerful, and there's some bad things that we can do that can hurt us and those around us. I see the condition, the deplorable condition of our youth here in this wilderness, North America. And I see that for generations, I'm 61, and for the last 30, 40 years in the United States of America, maybe 45, 50 years, we have allowed the policymakers who are really our open enemies as the original people, to set up policy where it's okay for them to teach, raise, train, and give our children education that is destructive. The brother, the doctor that spoke before the sister, he said that he got a profound shaking and awakening when the 10-year-old said to him, looked at him and said, "In our souls is death." If you raise children on video games and hip-hop words that talk about hitting the nigga in the head and splitting and drinking and having fornication relationships with derogatory words concerning the women that they're supposed to respect, and we as parents allow this to continue, then of course the end result is going to be a large number of children who have the capacity and the willingness to split a head open, to murder. And these things are a result, I believe, of us not completing, not finishing the job that we have yet to complete. We are daily struggling to continue to do the work properly to save our nation from our open enemies culture. It is a culture of the destruction of the male and the saving of the female for the purpose of whoredom. It is written in Bible and Quran that it is one of the greatest trials that we've had to and must go through as a people. I am forever grateful to Allah for giving us each other and an opportunity to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even if it be against our own self. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hassan. Good to hear from you, dear brother. Okay. 2099, the last four numbers from Florida. 2099, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, queen.
I just want to tell you, sister, Dr. Tisser, that she was beautiful, and I appreciate everything she said, and I'm very much enjoying what everyone had to say, and it's well needed. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. Thank you, Tima. Thank you. Thank you, Queen. Okay. Wow. Woo! All right, brothers. I know y'all got an earful, but let me just say this. There's a brother named El Ja who sent me a message and said that I neglected to include the nations of God and earth. And, brother, I have to admit that I'm not as familiar as I should be with nations of God and earth. Please feel free to educate your sister, charge it to my head, not to my heart. One nation, one love. You know how I roll. So I certainly didn't mean to exclude anyone in particularly in this matter. And then we have a comment for you, Brother Anthony and Brother Mahdi, from Brother Akbar Mahmoud. Well, no, I guess this would not be for you. This would be for me. He says, okay, if we are Muslims of the same God, why don't NOI Muslims speak Arabic? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, we do. Some of us do. I am not as fluent in Arabic as I would like to be. But let me just say this to you as it relates to the Arabic. The Arabic is a language that I certainly agree that we as Muslims need to learn for various reasons. But I just have to say this. Brother, it matters not if you can speak or read the Arabic as much as it matters about your obedience to the word that is written. And so as we all continue to grow and all continue to strive, and inshallah, maybe all of us one day will be bilingual in that aspect, more than anything else, it's about keeping your duty to Allah. Speaking Arabic does not demonstrate your faith. It demonstrates your skill. And so faith with, you know, not carried into practice is dead. So I pray that everyone that I encounter will know that I'm Muslim by the way that I greet them, by the way that I treat them, by what they see me do versus what comes out of my mouth. Because there are a lot of people who speak Arabic, but they're not necessarily good at heart. And this is the whole purpose of this conversation tonight, is to speak to the spirits of men, to get us who are of like minds to go out into our communities and enhance the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of our people so that we can stop destroying one another. You know, it's not about if you speak Arabic. It's not even about being Muslim. It don't matter if you're Shiite and if you're Hebrew, Israelite, or Moor, or whatever it is. Are you obedient to God? Are you willing to work in the cause of humanity and civilization and decency and peace? That is what we as a people need in our communities, crossing the aisles of faith-based persuasions and getting back to the humanity and the decency in which we were created within our very own nature. That is the point. And so oftentimes there is division from one sect of Islam or one sect of Christianity. I've heard somebody say that somebody was Baptist and another brother say, well, I'm Church of God in Christ, and the Baptists don't know what they're talking about. But they all profess to love and follow Jesus. So these kind of divisions, these little minute divisions have wreaked havoc and cause great division and disunity in our communities. And that is one of the reasons why we as a people are suffering. So we have to look at one another in love, but we can't do that if we can't look within and find the love of self and the love of Allah. And when you love Allah, you desire to keep your duty. And the way that you demonstrate keeping your duty is how you treat your brother. That's what we have to get back to. Okay, we are a little
yes,
bit
also,
over time.
I would like to add on to that, Sister Queen Aziza.
Oh, yes,
you know,
sir.
Because
I want to give you and Brother Anthony closing remarks. So go ahead and make your closing remarks.
All right. You know, I would like to say, you know, first of all, that's a big myth because 90% of the Islamic world doesn't speak Arabic. So, and as Allah revealed in the Quran and the ninth surah, 97 ayah, if you read in English version, it says the wandering Arabs are more hardened in disbelief and hypocrisy and more likely be the ignorant of the limits which Allah have revealed unto his messenger, and Allah is knower and wise. So a lot of times we're taking on that straight foreign version aspect of Islam has made us think that that type of stuff is overriding the spirit realm of what you just described. So what we must do is always take things from that interfaith perspective so that we know we're at the core. These are all portions of teachings that we all came out of the same source of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you just have one portion and that you should not really argue with your brother or your sister and those things that you disagree with, and let Allah be the judge of those things that you disagree with, and that we may move forward with a unified ummah and a unified code of ethics, that we may be able to move into the community as a unified front, as a unified back, a unified side, and up and down. And so that way, then we can lead by example, because we have to make amongst ourselves first before we go out into trying to, you know, reach the 85%. We, as the core, must come in and have this confederacy, of lack of better words, this confederacy amongst ourselves as leaders in our faith communities, to carry out this work and put all those great issues to the side and let the energy rest as it may. And then on that, I give peace and love to you, Islam, Islam, Islam.
Wa salam. Thank you, Brother Mahdi. And Brother Anthony?
Yes?
Any closing remarks from you, sir?
Yeah, the only thing I would like to say about Muslims that speak Arabic and Muslims that don't speak Arabic, not everybody is prolific in learning the Arabic language. As far as I went as a Sunni Muslim and learning the Arabic is learning the Al-Fatiha in Arabic. But as far as learning how to speak Arabic in general, it's kind of hard for me. And it's kind of difficult for me because of the way the wording is and the pronunciation goes. And so I'm just saying that to say that even though in the Quran it does talk about the Quran sounds better when you speak it in Arabic, but if you're not prolific in the Arabic and learning how to speak the Arabic language, you have to just approach the situation the best way you can. So I chose to do it in English, even though I learned some prayer in Arabic. So, but if everybody can't learn Arabic, even though they're Muslims, they shouldn't be looked upon as different because we're all still Muslims, and that's part of our brotherhood. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All praises due to Allah. Okay, people, thank you so very much. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, Nation Bread Bread out of Houston, Texas, and the chef of the Nation of Islam. Thank you so very much for your sponsorship. Thank you, Brother MacDL. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, MacDL. And thank you,
yes.
Brother Anthony Longstreet. It has been a tremendous honor and pleasure to have you all on. You so enlightened me, and thank you, Dr. Tissa and Dr. Salam and Sister Akeem and all of you who called in, Brother Gene, with your questions and your comments, Sister Krista and Brother L and all of you in the chat room. Sorry I didn't get to all your questions, but join us next Sunday as we will do part two of We Must Be Brothers, and inshallah, I will have some Christian base along with some other sects of Islam, and I will send an invitation out to Nation God and Earth. So I will definitely make my word bond and do that. Join us tomorrow for Torchlight of America at 8 p.m. with Brother Green. Join us on Tuesday for Disaster Preparedness at 7 p.m. with Sister Lachelle and Brother Rudolph. On Wednesday, our hip-hop comedy show with DJ Black Caesar at 7 o'clock. And on Thursday, I'll be back with another relationship topic. Don't know what it is yet, but I'll let y'all know with Student Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth Muhammad. And on Friday, Student Minister James will be back with our study group next Saturday. Now, yesterday, I did not do the show on missing children due to the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke. So I do not want you all who are participating in Missing Children's Task Force to lose focus, but I did want to yield out of my dear respect and love for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to his webcast on yesterday. So next Saturday, 8 p.m., we'll be right here with a special three-hour edition on Finding Our Missing Black Youth. We will also introduce new members of the task force, and we will also introduce new cities that are joining on with us, and we will have some people from law enforcement joining us as well. And then next Sunday, we'll be right back here, 6:30 p.m., for We Must Be Brothers Part 2. Brother Mahdi, Brother Anthony, may Allah continue to bless you. Thank you, dear brothers, for honoring me with your presence. I leave you as I came before you. In our nation's greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Bye-bye, sister.
Walaikum salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam.